ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय एवं निशम्य भृगुनन्दन साधुवादं वायासकी स भगवन्नत विष्णुरातम् प्रात्यारया कृष्णचरितं कलिकल्मषघ्नं व्याहरतु माराभत भगवत्प्रधाना। श्रील सूत गोस्वामी सेड, ओ सन ऑफ भृगु शौनक ऋषि, After Shukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadev, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit. He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in the age of Kali. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam Kalikalmasaghinam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age, Kali Kalmasaghinam. The Krishna consciousness movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Shukadev Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradhana, whereas Maharaj Parikshit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Both words bear the same meaning. That is, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna, and Shukadev Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to suffering humanity. Anartho Pashamam Shakshad Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakre Satvata Samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. People in general are unaware that the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam can give all of human society relief from the pains of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalma Sagnimam. Suta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, Shonaka Rishi, after Shukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit. He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Hmm. in order that the message of Bhagavatam be properly transmitted, it is necessary that the speaker must be authorized, and that the person hearing must be sincere, humble, and receptive. Without these two ingredients, transcendental wisdom cannot be transmitted. So, of course, the qualifications for this exchange of the message of Bhagavatam is here illustrated most perfectly by the original speaker and hearer, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Those who want to learn Bhagavatam must, if they want to assimilate it, follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. And those who dare to speak the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, they must follow in the footsteps of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So what are the qualifications that are specially explained here? Shukadeva Goswami is glorified here as being the son and the disciple of Vyasadeva. What does that mean? That he is not giving his own interpretation. He is not giving any opinions. He is simply repeating what he has heard from his guru. Who has heard from Narada Muni? Who has heard from Brahmaji? Who has heard from Krishna? Tene Brahma Hrita. In other words, to hear Bhagavatam, we must hear from someone who is coming in a genuine disciplic line, which was originated by Krishna. This is what is being spoken. And of course, throughout the world there are religious speakers, especially here in India, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because after all, it's a fascinating story from the beginning to the end. And by speaking these stories with enthusiasm, you can attract large crowds. But the real essence of the message of the Bhagavatam will never touch another's heart unless that realization, that spiritual potency, is received through the same process that Shukadeva Goswami received it. That means accepting that knowledge through disciplic succession. Which means that the qualification of a first-class guru is that he is a first-class disciple. One who is a first-class disciple is naturally a first-class guru, because he is simply repeating and representing what the previous acharyas have spoken. It's not a matter of intellectual ability, it's a matter of surrender. After all, there are word jugglers and philosophers who could speak all sorts of wonderful, profound words, but the potency of Krishna comes through one who is surrendered to his guru, who simply accepts with a humble heart and repeats. In the whole history of Sanatana Dharma, as we know it, there is no one who has spread the message of Krishna more far and more wide than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He opened hundreds of temples, and in each one of the temples, people were following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, studying 2 to 3 times a day classes in Gita and Bhagavatam, and working day and night for the upliftment of all in society. being willing to be put in jail or anything, risking their lives for Krishna's service. There's some famous scholars and yogis who have gone to the West who are very, very highly esteemed here in India. That, oh, this person, he has taken the message of India and spread it throughout the world. But factually, if you examine what was actually accomplished, there was a nice lecture, there was a nice applause by good scholars, and it was put in some papers, and that was it. There was no change of hearts, there was just an appreciation that yes, India does have a very bona fide scholarly religious system, something that nobody in the world ever could think was possible. So there was something nice done, no doubt. But as far as changing people's lives and inspiring people to surrender their lives, this Srila Prabhupada did. But what was his qualification? As far as he was concerned, he only had one qualification. And he would stress this one qualification constantly to us. Why? Because he wanted to tell us that this will be your only qualification. And what was that qualification? He said, I am not very learned. My god brothers, many of them are much more learned than me. He said, I only have one qualification, that I have submissively heard from my spiritual master, and I am simply repeating what I have heard. That's all. No other qualification. But because he had that qualification, he was given the complete shakti of Krishna to spread his glories. Krishna shakti vina nahi. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that in order to do what he had done, you must be divinely empowered by Sri Krishna. So Srila Shukadeva Goswami, here we are seeing his most magnanimous qualification, that he is coming in a line of disciplic succession, and he is simply humbly presenting what he has heard from his father and from his guru. And of course, he was living according to those teachings. Shukadeva Goswami was actually a social outcast. Only in the whole world, only the people who were assembled there, who were mostly great devotees and sages, could understand who he was. The rest of the society thought he was crazy. If you read the Bhagavatam, it describes. He was so careless in regard to fitting in society that he did not even consider putting on clothes. Some sadhus today, they don't put on clothes, but it's a different thing. Some of them do it just to show people how renounced they are. Or some, God knows why they do it. I'm sure God knows, but I don't know if anybody, I don't even know if they know. But Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he wasn't trying to show off that just see how renounced I am. He was simply so oblivious to this world that he just never thought of his body. He didn't even consider that he had a body. So what to speak of putting things on the body? Every now and then it describes once every day or two he would drink a little glass of milk. That's all that was required. Even the greatest saints and sages cannot imitate Shukadeva Goswami. But when the people of society saw him, they thought he was simply a madman. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was a reject. And he didn't try to prove himself. People would criticize him, condemn him. They would throw rocks and stones at him. They would spit on him. And he wouldn't say, don't you know who I am? I am the son of Vyasadeva. He simply was thinking of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. He was happy to be in such a situation. And when these people were following him, having a good time, such a crazy fellow. We don't see such people like this very often. Let us have a good time amusing ourselves by condemning him, criticizing him, and laughing at him. And they were walking with him, behind him, in this way. And then they came to the bank of the Ganges, where all the great saints and sages were gathered throughout the world. And when Shukadev Goswami entered that assembly, they were all trying to decide who should sit on the high seat, the Vyasa-san, to speak to Maharaj Parikshit. Because after all, this is a very, very momentous historical event. The king of the planet Earth renounced everything of his life, went to the bank of the Ganges with a vow to not eat or sleep for 7 days till death, and he simply wanted to hear, day and night, the Bhagavad philosophy, the glories of Sri Krishna. So all the great saints and sages came to witness this. And they were all they were trying to decide who is the one fit to speak. And when Shukadev Goswami came, they all knew his qualifications. He was completely transcendental. He had submissively heard through the disciplic succession from his guru, Vyasadeva. Therefore, he is most qualified. So they put him on the Vyasa-san. And all the common people who thought he was a crazy man, you would think they would say, oh, actually he's a great saint. All the great sages and sadhus recognize him as the best. Let us sit in here. No, they thought, he's no fun anymore. We can't make fun of him anymore. Now we know he's not just a crazy man, he's a great saint. So they all left. And he spoke the Bhagavatam. And Maharaj Parikshit, what was his qualification? His qualification was that more than anything else in his life, he understood the urgency of hearing about Krishna. There was no priority above that. Of course, he went to the extreme of putting everything else in life aside only to hear about Krishna. We cannot imitate Maharaj Parikshit, and we cannot imitate Shukadev Goswami. But if we want the Srimad Bhagavatam to be understood and to understand, then we must follow in their footsteps. To the extreme that these two great Paramahamsas have performed this activity, it is way beyond our power. They were divinely empowered beings. We cannot roam naked, completely transcendental to everything like Shukadev Goswami, but we can submissively hear from our guru and repeat what he has said and follow those principles. And we may not be able to give up eating and sleeping for 7 days and 24 hours a day be wide awake hearing the Bhagavatam. But we can follow in his footsteps. To make the hearing of the Bhagavatam from the bona fide representative of God the priority of our life, and to understand the dire emergency that I must hear Krishna Katha. It is urgent. There's nothing more important in my life. And to hear submissively. If these two ingredients are there, in the hearer and the speaker, then Krishna reveals himself through that exchange. If those two qualities are not there, the exchange is there, but Krishna will not reveal himself. It will be entertaining. It will be fun. It will be interesting. But Krishna will not reveal himself unless we find this system, being followed. And of course, after the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second most important of all the Vedic scriptures is the Bhagavad Gita. And the hearer and the speaker of Bhagavad Gita have the same qualities. When Arjuna was on that battlefield, after he was utterly frustrated by his own false pride in thinking that I know best, he understood that it was urgent, it was a matter of life and death to hear from Krishna and to inquire submissively. I am confused, I know nothing. Please, Krishna, shishyaste hamar, I am now your disciple. Please instruct me. Arjuna had the same quality as Maharaj Parikshit. In fact, he was the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit. They had an urgent desire to hear submissively, and they were willing to put everything else aside, at least for the time being, to hear. Now, Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live, so he simply heard until the moment of his death. Arjuna, he was a man of dynamic action. He had a duty to fulfill. Therefore, Arjuna's example is identical to Maharaj Parikshit's, but it's more applicable to people of this day and age. The example of the utter urgency that I must associate with the great souls and I must hear, that is the same. But Arjuna, he knew he had to go out and he had to fight a war. He had his business to take care of. He had his swadharma, his duties to fulfill. But he understood that all of my duties, all of my efforts, all of my work is utterly futile, useless, and empty, shallow waste of time unless I first urgently hear with a submissive heart from Krishna. Our life is in vain, according to the Shastra, unless we understand the necessity of hearing Krishna Katha from the authorized source. And how much Maharaj Parikshit, how much Arjuna were attentive to hear. Why were they attentive to hear? Because they understood the necessity. If we take things for granted, we don't really put our heart into it. Just like if you're falling from a boat into the ocean and someone throws you a rope, all of your attention, 100%, is on holding on to that rope. Because you know if you let go, you're dead. If I gave you the same rope right here in the temple, you would be holding on to it. But during class or talking to somebody else, you would probably just unconsciously let go, right? You wouldn't be like sitting at home with your family. If I gave you a rope, hold this as tight as you could. Maybe for a few minutes, but after some phone calls come and some people talking and time for dinner, you would let go. But if you were in the ocean, you would never let go, not even for a second. All of your concentration would be on that alone. You see, Maharaj Parikshit and Arjuna, they understood that if I don't hear with all my attention, I'm finished. I'm going to die in 7 days and my life is a total waste unless I hear every word of Shukadev Goswami now. He was grabbing on. He was clinging to every syllable spoken. And Arjuna was in the same position. I don't know what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do.
but I cannot do it unless I really understand why he was holding on to each word of Krishna. This is the spirit that we must approach the Bhagavatam. Then we will not fall asleep. Then our mind will not be going here, there, and everywhere else. We must make the process of hearing Krishna Katha our priority in life, the basis and the foundation of our whole lifestyle and all of our commitments in life. Then and then only will Krishna reveal himself through this message.
And it is being described here by Suta Goswami that Maharaj Parikshit was thanked by his Guru Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, with great respect. This is a very wonderful exchange. The spiritual master is, with great humility and respect, thanking his disciple for hearing so nicely and for asking such wonderful questions. And he's not thanking simply to encourage him. He's thanking because he's actually, from the core of his heart, grateful. Which shows the real quality of the heart of a guru, a genuine guru, is he is taking the position of the servant of his disciples. He never thinks, I am the master. He may take position of master in a spirit of humble service. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say like this. He used to, whenever his disciples would glorify him, or whenever anyone would say nice things about him, he would always have the same reply, Dasosmi, I am your servant. That's all. Nothing else. I have no other position. I am your servant. He used to say that Krishna has sent me all of these people just to give me a chance to serve them. He said, I see Krishna in each one of my disciples. And Krishna is so kind, he has so many needs just to give me some service through them. So therefore, such respect. He was grateful to them for allowing him to render some service. Huh? Not that just, see, I am giving you so much, you should be grateful. Of course we should. But the Guru doesn't think like that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was thinking that these disciples of mine, I am so grateful to them because they are allowing me to engage in serving Krishna in such a wonderful way. By serving them in such a wonderful way. In other words, the guru never thinks himself better than the disciple. In fact, he feels himself less. In order to take the position of servant, you have to feel yourself less. Do you not? But of course, as Lord Jesus said in the Bible, which is a universal principle of Sanatan Dharma, he who considers himself highest is lowest in the eyes of God, and he who considers himself lowest is highest in the eyes of God. The least we feel ourselves, the higher we are. The higher we feel ourselves, the lower we are. This is a spiritual principle. So Shukadeva Goswami is gratefully thanking Maharaj Parikshit. You are asking such wonderful questions. And it is because you are asking such wonderful questions that Krishna is empowering me to answer in so many wonderful ways. So actually, I'm indebted to you. Krishna would not empower me in this way unless you were asking such wonderful questions. We're not the speaker. Krishna's the speaker. prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate.
That Krishna is the doer. He is the ultimate controller of everything. We can only be instruments of his mercy. That is the perfection of our life.
And it is described here that after Shukadev Goswami, this is the beginning of the 10th canto, after Shukadev Goswami gratefully offered his thanks to Maharaj Parikshit, then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in the age of Kali. And Srila Prabhupada describes so beautifully in this purport that there are so many calamities, so many problems in this world, and the panacea cure is simply to learn the art of hearing about Krishna. Because that sound vibration transports our consciousness beyond this world into the spiritual realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The topics of Krishna, Krishna Katha, are descending from the spiritual world. Factually, through sound vibration, we are given entrance into the spiritual world. And Krishna has performed such wonderful activities. They are so interesting, so fascinating, so glorious. And he performed these activities especially to attract our minds away from the selfish pursuits of worldly life and keep our hearts always with him. So to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the true panacea cure for all the problems within our society. People may say this is impractical, but actually it is the most practical. Because by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we come in harmony with the Lord. Our hearts become purified. And then all the problems of this world due to lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion, they no longer exist within ourselves and within anyone who has taken the mercy of the Lord by submissively hearing and chanting the glories, following in the footsteps of Srila Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Is there any questions? He wasn't proud of being submissive. He was grateful to his spiritual master. He was not proud of himself. Are you proud to accept something? If someone comes with 1 lakh of rupees and say, here, and you accept it, are you proud that I have accepted? See how great I am, I accepted it? Are you? You're grateful to the person who's given it. That's all. Prabhupada wasn't proud of being submissive. He was simply grateful to his guru for giving, and he was just feeling himself so fortunate that he was allowed to accept it. You're proud when you give something. You're not proud when you accept something. You're proud of the person that's giving it to you. Huh? Because in accepting, you're really doing nothing except just being open. Giving, you can be proud. But when you accept something with humility, then you understand that if I'm imparting that same knowledge to others, I'm not the one giving it. It's my Guru Maharaj who's giving it through me.
So therefore, we have nothing to be proud of in taking or giving, because we're not giving. It's coming by causeless mercy into our hearts, and it's flowing from our mouths by causeless mercy. We really have nothing to do with it, except we're just somehow or other allowing it to happen. But most of the world just won't allow it to happen. So therefore, there's no question of pride in either teaching transcendental knowledge or receiving transcendental knowledge, if we're in the proper spirit. If we think I'm a great speaker, then we're useless. We're in total illusion. We haven't understood the content of anything we're talking about. We're nothing. We call Prabhupada his divine grace. Prabhupada said, it's not my divine grace, it's Krishna's divine grace. His means Krishna. I have no grace. That's what our gurus tell us. We have no grace. You ask a sadhu for his blessings, what blessing could he give you? There's only one person in this entire creation that can give a blessing, and that's Krishna. The best we could do is just deliver it to you. We can't give it, we can only deliver it. It's not ours to give. We can just be an instrument to allow Krishna to give through us. An instrument to allow Guru to give, to speak through us, to do through us, then there's no pride. You only become proud when you think it's yours, and when you think it's you. Therefore, pride is a great illusion. Because he was in the spirit of Maharaj Parikshit. He understood the urgency of grasping on to the words of his guru. And in his mind and in his heart, he was constantly repeating them and remembering them and aspiring to follow them. Krishna consciousness is a movement of quality, not quantity. You could chant the holy names millions of times, but it will not purify your heart as much as if you chant once in a humble state of mind. If you can sit all day long in a holy place and just hear Bhagavatam, day and night, but it will not purify your heart as much as if you hear even once with a great urgency to grab on to that message and live by it. Huh? Srila Prabhupada was told by his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was just a young man in his 20s. Bhakti Siddhanta, when he saw Prabhupada, how much attentively and humble he was in listening to his guru. Bhakti Siddhanta said that because this young man hears so well, you see, in the future, he will speak so well. And another thing Bhakti Siddhanta said, because this Abhai hears from me so well, with such submissive and with such attentiveness, anything he writes, print it. That was his qualification. Prabhupada was not proud of his qualification. Actually, it's a very humble qualification. Really, what he's saying is, I'm really nothing. I'm just the instrument of my Gurudev, that's all. He's everything. Yes? It is, you just are too blind to see it. The fact is, you could die within 5 minutes. You do not know. This material world is full of danger. The fact is that through the laws of time, you are right now being killed. Time is murdering everyone at every moment by taking away the duration of your life. Huh? There's danger at every step in this material world. It is urgent for everyone. But we're so blind and so much in a drunken, intoxicated stupor of material illusion, we have no consciousness of the urgent position we're in. Therefore, even when we sit in the Bhagavatam class, we take things very lightly, cheaply. Yes, this is very nice. But Krishna is very merciful. Sometimes he puts you in a situation where you wake up and realize that actually this is a dangerous situation I'm in. I have seen, by God's grace, he has allowed me to witness incredible transformations in people's lives. I know one devotee, I know two devotees who were very dear to Srila Prabhupada. They had so many other priorities in life. They heard the message. They were actually very nice devotees. But so many other priorities in life. And some of them were sinful activities. They just enjoyed different varieties of sinful activities. And they yes, Prabhupada, I know what he's saying is correct. I know it's right. But I like to do like this, what to do. And for years and years and years, they went on like this. And one of them was diagnosed to have cancer and had 6 months to live. The other was diagnosed to have AIDS. And I'm telling you, those people became saints. Everything Prabhupada had given them that they heard, but they took for granted, they no longer took for granted. And then when they would hear the philosophy, tears would be coming to their eyes, hearing the beautiful mercy of the message of Bhagavatam. Hayagriva Maharaj, who had cancer, I used to sit with him when he couldn't walk, his back was so bad. He would just be bedridden. And I used to sit and we would discuss Bhagavad philosophy together, and just tears would flow from his eyes. He was just anxious to hear, to grasp, to understand every word, to apply it to his life, because he knew he only had possibly a few days, at the most a few months. He became a completely surrendered soul. He became a pure soul. Simply because by Krishna's mercy, he understood the urgency of what he was been given for the 20 years before. Does Krishna have to do that to us? Why not just accept what we hear right now? How urgent it is, how to make it a priority. How much more pleasing that will be to Krishna than to make him go through torturing us. Do you think he likes doing that? But sometimes that's what he has to do to bring us to the standard. Huh? When Hayagriva was about to leave his body, he said, I have one regret in my life. That for 22 years I was Prabhupada's disciple. He said, my only regret is I could have done so much for him in these 22 years, but due to my weak-heartedness and inattentiveness, I have done so little for him. By his causeless mercy, now I'm with Krishna. Now I know nothing but Krishna. But how much time I wasted, how much more I could have done to serve his mission that I didn't. Huh? Such a beautiful realization. He said, I don't regret that I'm going to die. I don't regret that I'm in mortal pain. I only regret that I have wasted the time of my guru for so long. But he's so merciful that he loved me so much that he attracted Krishna to put me in this situation just to bring me back. Huh? Actually, because the guru loves the disciple so much, he attracts Krishna to intervene in the disciple's life. That is his mercy. Yes. Yes, they were there. Huh? You see, the general custom is you're not supposed to speak in front of your guru. What to speak of your guru's guru? And they were all there. But it was their desire that he speak. If it is their desire and their order, then you must speak. They wanted to see their disciple glorified. Position, you do not want anyone to excel you. But every guru wants his disciple to do more than him. That's their greatest longing. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that my great longing is what I am doing, that my disciples can do more, that each one of you can do more than me. In material life, you can do this far, but don't go beyond this line, because that's where my position is. Let my name eternally be famed for being the most spiritual master. He simply wants to see Krishna conscious spread. He doesn't care his name. Simply praying that my disciples will be more glorious and more empowered and more dear to Krishna than me. That is the prayer. So Narada Muni and Vyasadeva, they knew that Shukadeva Goswami was such a surrendered and pure-hearted disciple and param disciple. So they simply wanted the whole world to understand his glories rather than their own. So therefore they asked him to speak. And when the guru asks you to speak, it is your duty to speak. So it was their love for him and their own humility that was the internal reason. That his name, even above theirs, would be glorious for all time to come. By learning how to take pleasure in glorifying Krishna. By hearing Krishna Katha. When you hear the glories of the Lord, you realize his glories are so attractive. My glories are not really very attractive at all compared to him. He is lifting Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. Therefore, Jai Giriraj. What can I do? Our real pleasure is in glorifying Krishna. Our real pleasure is recognizing Krishna as the source of everything. For just try to take the position of the servant of the servant. regularly hear the glories of the Lord Krishna Katha, and on that basis, simply aspire for the position of being the servant of the servant. And gradually we become purified of this desire for selfish recognition. There's a story of the spiritual master who had two disciples. And each one of them wanted to be most recognized as the best disciple. So Guru Maharaj, they both said, "Can we massage you?" He said, "Yes." So they were both thinking, "I want to be recognized as massaging better." So one had one side, the other had the other side. And when the other one wasn't looking, the one on the left side took his fist and punched the right side so that the guru would think that the other person was the rascal and he would recognize that the one, my disciple on the left, me, he's best. And the person on the right, he was thinking, "Oh, I want the recognition of being the best disciple." So he just took his finger and poked his guru on the left side. And in this way, they were poking and they were punching and everything, just to get the recognition of being best. And what was the result? The guru was suffering, that's all. So Krishna consciousness means simply I want to see my guru pleased. Whether I do it or someone else does it, that doesn't matter. I just want to see him pleased. I want to see Krishna pleased. Whether I do it or somebody else does it, what do I care who gets recognized for doing it as long as Krishna is pleased? Huh? In the Old Testament, there's a story. This is when, it's a very famous story. When Solomon was king, Solomon was the son of David, and he was the king of all of Israel. He was a very powerful king, and he was most famous for his wisdom, because he was empowered by God. So, one day, two women came, and they both had between the two of them there was one baby child, and they both claimed that this baby is mine, and they were arguing like anything. You know how women can argue when they become possessive over something. "This is my baby." "No, no, this is my baby." "You are a liar. You are a cheater. This baby is mine. It came from my womb." "No, no, you are a cheater. You are a liar. This baby came from my womb." They were arguing and fighting and everything right before the king. And King Solomon said, "Well, I can see that we're never going to settle this through logic. You're never going to agree, either one of you, to give it to the other. Therefore, my decision is that we should cut it in half and give half to one and half to the other." And he said to his servant, "Take your sword, cut it in half." And the servant took his sword and pulled up the baby and was about to cut it in half. And Solomon was just watching the two. And one of them was silent. And the other one was saying, "No! It's her baby. I swear, I promise, it's her baby. Give it to her." And to that woman that said that, Solomon gave the baby to and said, "I can understand that it's your baby." Because you're not concerned about your possessing it. You're only concerned for the baby's welfare. That means you must really be the mother. Because you see, the child was like a prince. So, recognition is not very important. If we actually love someone, we want to please them. We don't want to be recognized by them. Huh? We don't want to possess, we want to please. This is the spiritual principle. This is bhakti. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna.